First reading is taken from Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up onto the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began sinking, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have a little faith," he said. "Why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Second reading is from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or, 'Who will descend into the deep?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, 'Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'"
Many of our expectations of faith and trust can probably trace back to our childhood, where our calls for provision and security were hopefully met in a nice way. It was a good experience. Unfortunately, often friends, family, spouses will let us down later on, which can damage those expectations. But faith in God is defining. Faith is the basis of our existence as Christians. If you look at that second reading from Romans, it all sounds very simple. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. All very true. Yet, have I asked you here? Quite a lot of you, probably all of you, would say that you wish you had, could have even more faith. The danger is that our search for faith comes about us and what we can do. Maybe hoping that if we have more faith and we pray for loved ones who are not well, that they'll be healed. Maybe praying that our worries and concerns will just disappear. And that just really hoping that we'll be so blessed that we effectively just swan through life without a worry or faint at all. What blessings we have are not from what we can earn. It's from God's grace. We can never meet God's standards. Yes, we should always pray, as we said earlier on. But sometimes our prayers are just wrong. They wouldn't be good for us if they were answered. Other times, they are plain daft. I remember when I was about 9, I got sent off to boarding school. At the end of the first term, all the other boys were being picked up. And I was left there. And they were going. And I prayed that my mother would suddenly appear just like that. You know, it's as though I could have imagined her to sort of come through the traffic. Completely daft. You know, I might, if I'd prayed for have patience, it might have been a better idea. But that's how it is. For other people, you know, it's just the feeling of not feeling worthy is the real big blockage. They don't feel that God can possibly love them. But God's love is for everyone, and he died for all. It's up to us whether we choose that we are chosen. Paul Tillett wrote, "Faith is the courage to accept we are accepted." Faith is the courage to accept we are accepted. Perhaps the best known example of somebody who was unworthy, who was accepted, was the unnamed lady who went to the house where Jesus had been invited to for a meal. And there she washed his feet with her tears. She dried his feet with her hair. Now, she wasn't saved because of what she did. She was saved because that she'd heard Jesus preaching and that she had gone out of an act of love, defying the business of being ridiculed. Because here was a lady who was probably a prostitute, a social pariah. But her act of love was so strong. And her using up the perfuming oil was just basically saying goodbye to her old trade. We are never going to be in that situation. If you read the Bible, especially the New Testament, the figure which is held up most for us man of faith is Abraham. Abraham is a really difficult story in many ways. Here's a man who at 76 is told to travel, several hundred miles from what's Iraq to Israel. And he has a promise, "I will make you a great nation and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." But there's quite a long wait. If you look at the chapters in Genesis, it's over 24 years later before Sarah gives birth to Isaac. And then he faces his greatest test of being asked to take Isaac, his son, and actually sacrifice him. But as we know, God steps in. We're not likely to face such a test or such a decision. But many people struggle when troubles come. We live in the real world, and life can be tough. Perhaps those close to us will become sick or die unexpectedly. People will let us down and hurt us. Our children will have troubles. The workplace can be difficult, and jobs and careers may be lost. Now, looking back over my last 15 to 20 years, I can see that my testing times, when I face challenges which are beyond my natural resources, have been the times when I've perhaps relied more on God and less on myself. And on those occasions, I have been most aware of God's presence and known his supernatural peace. It's good to write down those memories and hold on to them when God has really been there, because when later difficulties come, you can rely on those. You know that God's been there, that he is faithful, And at times, the only all you need to do is just praise and worship God despite whatever's going on around you. Now, some tests we face can be to which course of action to take. We need to do what we know is right and in the best long-term interest. And often this will be the harder or hardest route. Obedience to God, teaching, moves us forward. People-pleasing does not. But even so, we will need help from time to time from close Christian friends. You know, after all, Jesus, when he, the night before his crucifixion, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took with him Peter, James, and John. Now, we should never let pride delay us seeking prayer support from a close friend, a home group, or coming forward for the prayer ministry team. The gospel reading is one that people love a lot. It's very dramatic. The whole chapter starts with John the Baptist being beheaded. And Jesus wants to go away to a quiet place, but the crowds find him. And he ends up feeding them. And then Jesus, in verse 22, tells the disciples to get into the boat and go to the far side before dismissing the crowds and going off to pray. And I heard a recent talk on this with quite a different slant to what we normally hear. And it's that actually Peter's lack of faith was not about staying on the water, walking on the water. It was about his response to it altogether, because he'd been told to stay in the boat. And they didn't do it. And when the disciples saw him, they doubted. And Jesus tells them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. But still, Peter doesn't get it. He says, if it is you. And it's argued that Jesus was simply being gracious to Peter in his request. There are times when we need to stay in the boat, when we know that we are meant to be in a particular place, situation, relationship, or church, rather than step out hoping that we will be blessed. If you look at the Bible, the greatest act of faith was actually Jesus going to the cross. He knew he was innocent. He knew it would be painful and distressing. He knew he'd be separated from God, but he was also human. And he couldn't have known 100% that he would be raised. And on the cross he quotes, my God, why have you forsaken me? And his final words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So what can we do to build and nurture our faith? Well, first of all, acknowledge that God is God and Lord of Lord in our life. Stop doing, with God's help, what we know is not right. About 10 days ago, I had the television on. I just had been watching listening to one of the God channels when I was trying to work at the same time, listening. And I came back in the room, and a lady was being interviewed. And she'd been a contestant probably on last year's Voice program. I didn't actually watch. But she'd been a professional backing singer and worked for many years for the likes of Eric Clapton. And apparently one evening, Eric Clapton took all his crew out to dinner to celebrate being 20 years of being free from drug and alcoholic addiction and stuff like that, which is quite difficult. And he was asked at the meal, what made the difference? What helped you get through it? What made you succeed? He said, prayer. And here was a man, if you remember, who lost a four-year-old boy, son, who just jumped out of a tall window in New York, and is happy and often will pray before a concert. You can get to know God's character from reading the Bible, hearing God's word from prayer, from opening our hearts up in worship, just from being observing and being inspired by our Christians around us, by their encouragement, and by being obedient to God's promptings, by realizing that God's commands are based on a promise that is totally loving and trustworthy. There is nothing we have to go through alone. The benefits of faith are huge. Faith is so liberating. You know, you realize that so many of our insignificant worries, demands, and expectations are simply of no significance. That many of the things that used to upset us can simply be left behind. A freedom to live lives of integrity, completely honest and real, with no need to succumb to creating a false image. We are what we are, children of God, with incomparable significance, truly accepted, deeply loved, with the greatest friend and the most wonderful family. It's having a deeper contentment within you. You know, no longer striving for self-gratifying pleasures. It's being less self-focused, instead filled with a deep love and compassion for others. It's the ability to throw off shackles of not being able to forgive somebody. It's having an assurance, a hope, and a future beyond our imagination. So I urge you, all in the words of James, draw closer to God, and he will draw closer to you. Let us just close with a short prayer. Lord, I just ask that if we have can see things in our lives that are just providing blockages to that faith that we long to have and we just want to grow and to be stronger and more real. Just we just ask that you just bring them into our minds now. Perhaps it's not feeling worthy. Perhaps it's just simply pride. Perhaps it's things that we do that we know we shouldn't be doing. Perhaps it's being deaf to God's promptings. Perhaps it's a failure to totally surrender everything. Well, I just pray that you will bring those things to our hearts and minds now. And Lord, we just pray for complete healing in this area. Because Lord, we just want to be a people on fire for you. Amen.